Chapter 20 Dinner Guests. Even though he was the youngest, the crew elected Buck their captain. This was their way of showing their appreciation for being set free. After an inventory of the ship's stores, the men realized that they were in even more trouble than they had originally thought. The captain had intended on replenishing his supplies in China when he picked up his human cargo. He had stocked the ship with just enough food and water for a one-way trip. The storm had cost the crew precious days' supply of these items. The cook had overheard the captain telling the first mate that they were only one day from China before the storm hit. The men, however, had no way of knowing which way their flight from its destruction had taken them. On the morning of the third day after the mutiny, the skies cleared and the sun rose in the east. Unfortunately, the ship was sailing straight for it. This meant they were heading in the wrong direction. With the sun now to guide them, they made a quick about-face, putting on all the canvas the ship could hold. They were not sure where they might make landfall, but at least now the crew felt they were heading towards something. Buck's best guess was they were 5 or 6 days from China. This meant they had to ration their supplies. No one had thought to try to catch rainwater during the storm. The captain had known that he had enough water left even with a day or two delay. Now the men had to make what little water they had last, and all they saw for the next 8 days were bright sunny skies and clear moonlit nights. Not one drop of precious moisture fell. The fifth day came and went without any land showing on the horizon. The crew ran completely out of food and water on the sixth day. By the eighth day, it appeared doubtful that any of them were going to make it. Then, just before sunset on the eighth day, a plume of clouds appeared directly in their path, and a cry of,
"Land ho!"
boomed down from the lookout in the crow's nest. What land? They had no way of knowing, but at least it was something. Land usually meant water and perhaps some sort of food. It takes a cowboy to miss something as big as a continent, but that's exactly what Buck did. He had not landed in China, or even Asia for that matter. It was Borneo. The storm had blown the ship south and east. By the time they righted their direction, the ship was nowhere near China. The crew lined the rail as they sailed along the rocky coastline looking for any signs of life and a safe place to anchor. It was hard to resist the temptation of heading straight for the beach. However, the roar of the waves crashing against the jagged coral reefs that lay hidden just below the surface made them reconsider. They hoped that there would be a break in these deadly waves somewhere. For now, they would have to be patient and sail on. Just after dawn, the ship rounded a point and found a small natural harbor. Buck sent the ship's dinghy in first with two of the crew to test the depth of the water. The men returned shortly and assured him that the ship could clear the reef on the high tide. 2 hours later, they cautiously ventured into the cove. Only once did the ship's keel scrape the bottom ever so slightly, but not hard enough to cause any damage. The grinding of wood against coral sent a chill up Buck's spine. Safely inside the breakers, the ship was anchored. Buck then posted lookouts high in the rigging. One of the older sailors had warned them about savage tribes of headhunters that sometimes populated these islands. The men dare not rush blindly on shore. Buck took a boatload of men to check the area before letting down his guard. Armed with the captain and first mate's pistols, along with some knives from the galley, this small band eased their little boat on shore. They then silently slipped into the nearby jungle. Splitting up, they scouted all around the lagoon, but found no signs of danger. The boat was sent back for the rest of the crew and the empty water barrels. Not far from the beach, they heard the sound of rushing water. The men followed its babble to a small waterfall that cascaded off a nearby cliff. It then ran into the lagoon by way of a small freshwater stream. They all dropped to their stomachs on its bank and drank thirstily. Having spent time in the dry parts of Texas, Buck cautioned the men to take it easy. Otherwise, they would just throw up. After all the men had abated their thirst, Buck ordered the water barrels filled and loaded back on board. A man can go a lot longer without food than water. They might have to make a run for it at any moment. Getting the water safely on the ship was their first priority. After the water was stowed below deck, Buck divided the men into three groups. One group would guard the ship and small boat. Another would try to catch fish in the lagoon using nets from the ship. The remaining crew members went with Buck into the jungle to look for fruit. He was tempted to shoot some birds or monkeys, but chose not to. Fearing that the sound of gunfire might invite unwanted guests. Both food-gathering parties were successful. The men now had fresh fruit and fish to eat. Buck chose to put back out to sea before letting them begin their feast. They all were tempted to just stretch out in the sun on the soft sand and have a leisurely meal. But Buck's experiences with Indians and cattle rustlers made him distrustful of any situation that he did not control completely. His caution proved to be justified. As they sailed back out of the lagoon, several hundred painted savages, with bones through their noses, swarmed onto the beach the crew had just vacated. Each native carried either a sharp spear or a nasty-looking club. This was obviously not a welcoming committee. The word of the crew's trespass had spread quickly. One casual lunch on the warm sand would have probably been their last meal. Buck shuddered at the prospect of his head shrunk and worn as a trophy around one of these natives' neck.